Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, the purpose of Keynote is that we then spend the week following working out what God has said to us in the Keynote. And this last week, we have certainly worked out what God was saying to us last Wednesday. And to the depth and the profundity of what God has been doing amongst us has been added that new note of joy. Yes. Hallelujah. And it's not just joy in the praise. There's been more joy in people's lives. There's been more joy around everywhere. I've just seen the joy. Hallelujah. Heard the joy. And that's great. Amen. Because God wants our lives to be full of joy. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be full. There's a false kind of joy, but there's a real joy that comes from the depth of what God has done within us. We've needed some different sort of songs, haven't we, or hymns even, to express that joy. Because you see, when there's a release of joy, there's a release of praise. And there's been a greater depth of praise. There's been a greater release of praise during these last few days. I mean, the praise was there before, wasn't it? And we were sort of meeting with God deeply, but something is bubbling up to the surface. And it's getting exciting because many wonderful things are going to happen as a result. God's the God of perfect timing. He knows exactly what he's doing. All that he's been working in us these last few months has been so important. Now it's all coming bubbling to the surface. Don't get too excited because it's Wednesday. Okay. Now, God says to his people here in Isaiah, I summon you by name. That's good, isn't it? To be summoned is to be called. Not just sort of gently called, but summon. I summon you into my presence. I summon you to me. So I summon you by name. Isn't that amazing? That out of all the millions and billions of people that have existed, God has summoned you by name. We shall never understand the basis upon which he chooses to summon people. You've only got to look around you to see that. He likes all sorts, doesn't he? And none of us would ever say that we qualified to be summoned by God. But then the next part of the verse is very interesting. I have summoned you by name and given you, placed upon you, a title of honor. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Now, actually, the word, the context in which that word comes from Isaiah 45, he was talking about Cyrus. And Cyrus wasn't even part of the nation. He wasn't one of God's people, but he was someone who God chose to use. And so he said, I summon you, Cyrus, by name. And that demonstrates that God is able to use anybody who he chooses to use. And he decided, because he was going to use Cyrus in a particular way, to place honor upon his name. Now, if that is true of a non-believer who is not one of God's people, how much more true is it of you? Because you are one of God's people. What is your title of honor? Well, in Christ Jesus isn't a bad start. I'm Colin in Christ. You are whoever you are in Christ. Could there be a greater honor? And that's how God sees you. That's how God sees me. Son of God. Not the Son of God, but a Son of God. You are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That God, the creator of the universe, should call you my son, my child. There's that possessive word, my son, my child, my daughter. Isn't that a title of honor? Could there be a greater honor than to be a child of God? It's amazing, isn't it? What he has chosen to do for us and what he's chosen to make us. And then Paul says, doesn't he, that the secret of the Christian life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus, when he was praying for all those who would become believers, which includes us, of course, he said to the Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me. That's a pretty good title of honor. That he's given you the glory. Not he will give you when you go to heaven, but he's given you a title of honor, a title of glory now. You're getting too excited again. Just calm down, will you? Because, you see, it's so wonderful what he has done. And you can look at yourself and see all kinds of inadequacy. But you should have learned by now that you are a boring subject. And there's nothing more boring than looking at yourself. But every time you look at Jesus, you get excited. Because he is much more exciting than you are. Hallelujah. And the way to get excited in the Spirit is just to fix your eyes on Jesus. But you know, it says also in the epistle to Hebrews, fix your thoughts on Jesus. You see, don't fix your thoughts on yourself. That's boring. It drains faith out of you. Because you've learned by now that to put your faith in yourself is just about the most hopeless thing you can do. But to put your faith in Jesus is the greatest thing you can do, because he will never fail you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always honor his word. He will always fulfill his promises. So how wonderful to know that you have this title of honor, that you live in Christ, that you're a son of God, that Christ is in you, that it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And that helps us to understand what the whole of the Christian faith is all about. It's not a self-improvement program. Jesus said, if you're going to follow after me, you have to deny yourself, not improve yourself. Because you see, the more you deny yourself, the more his life, his love, his power, his joy, and so on comes forth. And I'm only reminding you this morning of things that you know, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that the Spirit will remind us, he'll keep reminding us of what Jesus has said and of what Jesus has done. That's the main focus of prophecy. Prophecy isn't, you know, getting some glorious new revelation that nobody's ever had before. Prophecy is the Holy Spirit reminding you of the truth of God's word. Sometimes he gives explanation of that prophetically, but all the time, any true prophecy is going to bring you back to God's word, isn't it? Always. So we are those who can rejoice in what God has done. Now, I just want to remind you that if the secret is Christ in you, if it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you, if God has given you this great honor of making you his child, his son, his daughter, of living in Christ, having Christ living in you, then there are certain obvious truths that are truths about you today and every day. And if you are ever tempted not to rejoice, you only have to remember what he's put in you and you'll begin to rejoice. Which is why, you know, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So, there you are. It doesn't matter how you feel this morning. It doesn't matter what circumstances are going on in your life this morning. There are certain truths that are truths about you this morning, so long as you are a believer. First of all, Christ is in you. I mean, that says everything, doesn't it? Christ is in me. Today, Christ is in me. Today, I live with Christ in me. Today, I'm not alone because Christ is in me. Today, it doesn't matter what I have to do because Christ is in me. He will enable me to do whatever I have to do, not in my strength, but in his power. So just to know Christ is in me, that's great, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing greater than that. That's the greatest of great. Christ is in me. Christ is in you. Isn't it good that Christ is not an emotion? He's not a feeling. He is the truth. So the amazing thing is that Christ is in you no matter how you feel. You're allowed to smile because knowing the truth sets you free to rejoice. Okay, so if Christ is in you, his love is in you. So God says to you, my love is in you today. God has poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. You see, a people of faith don't just know this stuff in their heads. They keep speaking. Every day I speak these things over my life. Christ is in me. Today, his love is in me today. Now, I've got to express that love, but I'm not going to express that love if I don't believe that love is in me. And sometimes, you know, we can be conscious of all kinds of other emotions and stuff going on in our lives that we can forget if we're not, woo, 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 wait a minute. His love is in me. Yeah. So I can't opt out of this situation and say, I don't have to love that one or I don't have to care about that situation. No, his love is in me. So he wants that love in me to be expressed through me. Yeah. Amen. Now, if his love is in me, his mercy is in me. Mm-hmm. So his mercy is going to pour out of my life, isn't it? His mercy is in you, so his mercy is going to pour out of your life. That means you are going to be merciful. You're going to forgive. You're not going to take offense. You're not going to get mad at anyone. You're not going to get angry with them. You're not going to get upset. Even if something happens to upset you, you're going to meet it with mercy. Because his mercy is in you. Mm-hmm. And because his love is in you, we've already seen, haven't we, that to love someone is to seek their highest good. So because his love is in you today, you seek the highest good of all those around you today. Why are you so silent? Can't you affirm that? Amen? Amen? So his love is going to be expressed. His love is going to be expressed in mercy. His love is going to be expressed in grace. He's going to be gracious to you because the one who lives in you is the Lord of grace. So you can expect to live today in his favor because his favor is in you.
Amen.
If Christ is in you, his favor is in you. But of course, it means his favor is going to work through you. Right? You're going to expect favor from God, favor from others, favor no matter what situation you're in. But listen, you're going to show favor. Because the God of all grace is in you, you're going to show favor to others. Yeah? And the more you give, the more you get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, or running over. What you sow, you reap. You want to reap the grace of God. You want to live in the full flow of that grace. So you give grace. You are gracious. You're a giver. Amen. Jesus came, he is the highest in heaven because when he came, he was the greatest servant on earth. Yeah. So the servanthood of Christ is in you. Yes. Hello?
Yes.
So when you serve, no matter what it is, I mean, you know, in the kitchen, in the dining room or wherever, you serve with the servanthood of Christ.
Yes.
You serve in the best possible way. You serve to bless others. You serve to please them. You serve to honor them. Amen? Because they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. Is this good or is this good?
Very good.
So even his servanthood is in you. If Christ is in you, his servanthood is in you. Right? And he always does everything in the best possible way. So his love, his mercy, his grace, his servanthood, his joy is in you. Well, you see, if his joy is in you, you can't keep it to yourself. See, this is the whole thing. Whatever of Christ is in you has just got to pour out of you. Jesus talks about it pouring out as rivers of living water. So there's got to be a river of joy flowing out of you, hasn't there? After all, it was the anointing of the oil of joy that was upon Jesus that raised him above his companions. So the thing that flowed out of Jesus more than anything else was not the power and the authority, not even the love, but the joy. People had never encountered someone so joyful as Jesus. That's why I hate all those religious paintings where he always looks so somber, so serious. So I thought, that's not the Jesus I know. Jesus I know is the Lord of joy. Amen? The Jesus I know is the one who wants me to rejoice in him always because he is full of joy. And I know that when my eyes are on him, I will be full of joy. If my eyes are on myself, I will lose the joy. Until I get my eyes back on him. Anybody else discover that truth? You see, this is the way God has made us as the new creations that we are. So his peace is in me. I'm all wow, 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 wow. Isn't his peace great? You see, why is it so important for his peace to be in me today? Because I'm free from all punishment.
Amen.
You know, a lot of Christians are not at peace because they punish themselves. They really don't think that they deserve to be free of punishment. So even though God isn't punishing them, even though others aren't punishing them, they punish themselves. Fear has to do with punishment. And if we're laboring under some false kind of punishment, we won't be at peace. Hello? So Jesus wants his love to cast out all fear, doesn't he? Because fear has to do with punishment. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to be at peace. He doesn't want you to be laboring under some impression of punishment. He wants you to be at peace. In fact, actually, he's a little bit stronger about it than that. He says, if I don't punish you, how dare you punish yourself? When I died on a cross to free you from punishment, what do you think you're doing when you choose to punish yourself? Now, there's only one thing that's worse than punishing yourself, and that's punishing others. And we've got ways of doing that. We ignore them. We snub them. We make them feel uncomfortable. We talk about them, gossip, criticize, judge. At least other people do. Nobody at Roffey would ever do any of those things. But you have to understand that we live in a world where there are people that have never been to Roffey. So you've just got to be humble about this, yes? You see, all those negatives are a complete denial of what Jesus has done for us. He says, well, I freed you from all punishment, so don't punish others. Love them. Serve them. Be merciful to them. Be gracious. Because, you see, as John says in his first letter, and all you first-year students have been through that this term, you can't love God if you don't love your brother. If you don't love your brother who you do see, how can you love God who you do not see? Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to him. So to punish someone else is to punish God. That doesn't seem a very clever thing to do, you know. Here's Jesus. He saved us from all punishment. We say, thank you, Lord, you've saved me from the punishment I deserve, but I'm going to punish you by punishing others. It doesn't sound right to me. Does that sound right to you?
No.
It doesn't even sound right that we should punish ourselves if he's freed us from all punishment. So his punishment isn't in you. His peace is in you. That freedom from all fear is in you. There's fear in your soul sometimes. That's a natural reaction. But there's freedom from fear in your spirit.
Amen.
Because there's the peace of God in your spirit. See, Christ is in your spirit. The thing is that you've got to get what is in your spirit into your soul life. So all this stuff is in you. Christ is in you, and all these wonderful truths are in you, in your spirit. And God wants that which is in your spirit to invade your soul life. So that then it flows out of you, or he flows out of you, as rivers of living water. Now, you know that, you know that. So his love is in you, his joy is in you, his peace is in you. I mean, you have to make it personal. You know, I say, oh, thank you, Lord, that today your love is in me, your joy is in me, your peace is in me, your kindness is in me, your gentleness is in me. Your patience is in me. Hallelujah. And there's always situations where you just have to rejoice, you know. I had a telephone call from a lawyer that's handling the sale of my house and said, we haven't received all your documents. I said, yes, I sent them to you 3 weeks ago. So she goes and finds them, they're on the wrong desk. And so nothing has been happening for 3 weeks. So you rejoice. And you say, thank you, Jesus. In all things, you're working for our good. So, you know, the lady apologized. I said, that's okay. I said, I'm surrounded by chaos here, sorting out 1,000 books or whatever it is I've got. So I can understand that sometimes your office gets in chaos. But you see, if we get negative about things that happen, we're the only ones who suffer. It doesn't change the situation. It doesn't alter things at all. It just makes us angry, resentful, or whatever. Instead, you know, we can just be at peace. The thing is that with this, you know, with the sale and the buy of the house and all that stuff, you know, the lawyers got to do all their thing. It'll all happen. God says, yes, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. It'll all happen in my way, in my time, in everything I'm working for your good. So in this, I'm working for your good. So it's going to happen in my time, in my way. I'm looking after everything. You don't have to concern yourself about any of it. I mean, if he undertakes for me, he undertakes for me. I don't have to say, Lord, Lord, you said you would undertake for me. Are you doing it? He said, what do you mean, am I doing it? If I say I do something, I do it. You don't have to check up on me to see if I'm doing it. I will always do whatever I've said I will do. It's just for you to rejoice and be glad and to be at peace because I'm doing it. If it doesn't work out, you know, in the way that you thought, that doesn't matter because my ways are higher than your ways. And it will all be done in the right way and in the right time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Amen. Same with your healing. Your healing's accomplished, isn't it? You trust in God. See the outworking of it all. So every day you say, thank you, Jesus. Your healing is in me. You're not waiting to be healed. Your healing is in you. Your healing is taking place every day. Hey, his strength is in you. That means his energy is in you. I need a dose of that, a good dose of that at present, with all that's happening. But that's okay. The Lord is my strength. He's the strength of my life, isn't he? Isn't that what the word says? So his strength is in me. His power is in me. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So his power is in me. You know, sometimes your soul has got to catch up with it. Your body has got to catch up with it. You know, because your body feels weak and boom, 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 boom. But the source of the remedy for that is to know what you've got in your spirit. I have the strength of Jesus in my spirit. So the strength of Jesus gets into my soul where I begin to believe and live. I got your strength. And then my body begins to respond. Your healing is in me. Your wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Now, all this seems very personal, and it is, because it needs to be. Because we're talking about Christ in you, not Christ in someone else. It has to be personal, right? His wisdom is in me. His wisdom is in you. Doesn't always mean that you listen to the voice of wisdom. Doesn't always mean that you do what is wise. But his wisdom is in you, and if you shut up and listen to him, you will hear the words of wisdom. And then you will do what is wise. Can you see that he didn't give you a blessing, he gave you himself. So whoever he is and whatever he is in you. Now, as you sit there this morning. Unless, of course, you don't belong to him, you're not born again. But if you're born again, then Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Yes. It's all good news, isn't it? Got nothing to do with feelings. It's all to do with faith. Well, this is what God's word declares. I believe it, so his truth is in me. And if his truth is in me, then I'm going to live according to the truth. It's all very personal. But being personal isn't being selfish. You see, to affirm these things is not being selfish. Because God knows it's only by affirming who we are that we can be of any use to anybody else. He has come to inhabit you, not for your sake, but for his sake. Now, that's the extraordinary thing, you see. He's chosen to honor you by coming to live in you. Not for your sake. It's not to get you to heaven. It's for his sake. It's for the sake of his holy name, as Scripture says. Everything God does ultimately is for his sake and for the glory of his name. Now, why should he come and live in you for his sake? Because he's got a plan and purpose for you. And that plan and purpose is for your life to collide with a number of other lives. And what is in you is going to impact and affect all those other lives. So God knows that the more you honor him and realize how he has honored you, the greater you will be able to impact others. Not because you walk around saying, I'm going to impact the lives of other people today, anything like that. It's simply what is in you will flow out of you and will impact others. Do you remember Jesus says you cannot serve God and money? Or God and mammon, which is really the God of worldly prosperity. Why? Because none of your possessions can survive the fire of testing on the day of judgment. All possessions get burnt up. So possessions are nothing, really, to God. Our value is never in what we possess, is it? The only thing, you see, that is important that we possess is Christ in us. The kingdom within us, the Spirit of God within us. That's our only possession that will survive the fire of testing. Because that's God's life, God's eternal life within us. So that's why the scripture says, what Jesus says, don't work for the things of this world. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Work for the real inheritance that matters. Hallelujah. And if you do that, what does it mean? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else. Everything else. Everything else will be added to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. God will look after you. Praise God. Why? Because you're his child and the father loves his child and any loving father cares for his child, provides for his child, meets the needs of his child. Amen. So, how dare we not rejoice? I mean, really. His holiness is in you. That doesn't mean that everything you do is holy. It has been known on one or two odd occasions for a Rafi student to do something that is not particularly holy. But that doesn't alter the fact that his holiness is in you. That holiness is therefore to impact your soul. That holiness is therefore to impact what you do with your body, so that that holiness flows out of you and impacts the lives of others who are not living in holiness. Amen. You see, whoever he is and whatever he is in you. Amen. You can't even say, Lord, I want more of you to be in me. He says, how can I live in you and you have more of me? I mean, if Christ is in you, the fullness of who he is in you. You can't have more of him in you. Right? You have the fullness. This is why the scripture says, you have come to the fullness of life in Christ. You have the fullness of who he is in you. You don't lack anything. You have the fullness. You have Christ in you. You can't have more of Christ in you. You've already got the fullness of Christ in your spirit. Now you need more of him in your soul life. You need more of him flowing out of your body. But that's not because God needs to give you more of him, but because you need to allow the fullness that you have to be expressed through you. But if you say, oh Lord, give me more. I said, what are you talking? You know that terrible song that was around a little while ago, More Power. Oh dear Lord. How dare we ask for more power if we're not using the power that we already have within us? We need to see more of the power. Right? More of the life, more of the love, more of the joy, more of the peace being expressed. But it's not because we don't have it. Even that joy is in you, being in you all the time. It's just the last few days you've let more of it out. But let me tell you, there's still much more to let out. There's much more of a fullness that you have within you to be expressed through you. This is called good news, just in case. You know. Right. And good news makes us happy. Don't let's think that joy is some sort of spiritual thing. It's happiness. You see, blessed, the best people are happy people, aren't they? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Happy are the poor in spirit. Yes? I mean, what if God gives you his son and his comes to live in you, what more can he do to make you happy? He says, I've just given you my son. Why aren't you happy? Well, you stop being happy when you look at yourself. And when I look at you, I can understand that when you look at yourself, you stop being happy. But when you fix your eyes on him, you get happy again. You realize he's so much bigger than you are. What do you have to worry about? Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. And, you know, we look at that and we think, how can we ever get to that place? Where it's very simple. You just stop being anxious and be happy instead and rejoice in him and trust him and say, well, he's in charge, it's all right. He's you know why, you see? Because what God has been doing in this last week is melting that ice block within you. See? Those frozen parts where we've frozen him out, his love, his truth, his joy has been addressing those parts. And as the ice melts, so there's more freedom, there's more joy, there's more love, there's more life, there's more power. And there's also more testing. Have you found that? You know, as soon as God begins to do something, something happens to put it to the test. I'll let you into a little secret about preaching, as long as you promise not to tell anyone else. Right? I've discovered over all these years of being a preacher that whenever I preach anything, in the next few days, I'm going to be put to the test as to whether I'm living it myself. Now, I can only preach it because I'm living it. So then you preach it because you're living it, and then you're tested to make sure you're really living it. So it's great being a preacher. Hallelujah. No, I'm being serious. You know, Wesley was a remarkable man of God. He really was in so many ways. But at one point in his journal, he says this: I dread to think what would have become of me if I had not had to preach 5 times a day. Now, as a preacher, I know exactly what he means. That preaching meant that he had to keep his life up to the mark himself, lest having preached to others, he himself would be condemned. And that's a scripture that he quotes often. So, you know, when you're a preacher, you know you've got the responsibility to live your message. But then you know also that that's going to be put to the test. And the Lord allows you to be put to the test in that way. Right, you say you believe something, let's test it to see if really this is what's gripping your heart. This is what's being expressed in your life. This, therefore, is what's going to come out of your mouth. So the testing of your faith proves that it's genuine. Amen. But I've got a sneaking suspicion this is true not only of preachers, but those who listen to preachers. You know, you listen to a message and you say, yes, I agree with that because you know it's the truth. Then God says, okay, let's just test this to make sure that you've really got it. Yeah. You haven't just got it up in your head, but you've got it up in your heart. Let's really put it to the test to see whether you're going to live by this truth that you've just heard or whether you're just going to store it away somewhere and pretend you never really heard it. Hello? Yeah. So we're not hearers only, but doers of the word, yes? That's why God speaks to us. Why should God, who brought the universe into being by speaking? That's amazing, isn't it? I was just looking at a book. I was supposed to be packing up all my books, but I came across this book about the Hubble telescope. Pastor Gary knows all about this stuff, you know. How vast is the universe? How many billions of light years it is in size, which is just apparently, and I've got to get this right, it's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Does that sound right? 9 million I got. Is that? Oh, it's been expanding since the book I was writing. 13.7. Oh, my apologies. I only got 9. Right. 13.7 million times. That's millions times million times million times million times million. It's big. And all that came because God said, "Let there be light." Do you realize the one that brought all that into being is the one who speaks to you? How dare you ignore what he says? Oof. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Brings the whole universe into being, and he talks to little you. But he doesn't talk to you from heaven. He talks from you from inside, where he comes to live.
says, hey, I'm not out there, I'm in here. My spirit is within you. And you see, even when you're not tuned into heaven, the spirit is, because he speaks only what he hears. So all the time, the Holy Spirit in you is, he's got his spiritual antenna up, you see. And he's just tuned into heaven. Whatever the Father, the Son says, he brings it to you, you see. That's what's happening all the time. So you hear heaven because the spirit is in you. That was anointed. I can't repeat it, but it was anointed. It's all part of the anointing, you see. So if you want to hear it repeated, just get the recording. Now, but isn't this amazing? I mean, this is your life. This is who you are. That God has bestowed on you a title of honor. He couldn't honor anyone more than he's honored you. I mean, what greater honor could there be than to have Christ in you? To have the Holy Spirit speak to you every day.
Oh, he doesn't speak to me.
Yes, he does. You're just not listening. You keep listening to yourself and your own thoughts and your fears and your doubts and your anxieties and some of what some other clown says instead of listening to him. So, well, I don't hear the voice of God. Well, open your Bible and you will. I mean, there's nothing difficult. This is the word of God. You can hear God. When you believe what he says here, then the Spirit will explain even more to you. Or he'll explain it all to you. Hallelujah. So, we'll just finish this off. Finish you off. I love Isaiah 43. I mean, I was quoting from Isaiah 45, but I just love Isaiah. Ooh, Isaiah, yeah. I don't know if we meet these guys in heaven, but I'll have a cup of coffee with Isaiah because I should be able to drink coffee again when I get to heaven. Fear not. I think I told you before that cartoon I saw of hell, you know, and in hell they were queuing up at the coffee urn and the caption said they thought of everything here, even the coffee is cold. That would be hell, wouldn't it? Cold coffee. But in heaven the coffee will be hot. Never mind. This is revelation beyond you, but just keep moving with God and he'll bring you to the higher things. All right, fear not. That sounds like a command to me. Hello?
Yes.
Does that sound like a command to you? Yes. Fear not. It's the command that's repeated 366 times in Scripture, so I think God's sort of onto something there. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I paid the price for you. You're mine. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Is this good or is this good?
Good.
See, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Whatever the waters represent, you know. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Even if they're in flood, they're not going to carry you away. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God. Hallelujah. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Or you are precious and honored in my sight because I love you, he says. You are precious and honored. I can remember when I was a young believer, that was one of the verses God brought to me again and again. You are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. I could live my life on that, couldn't you? Just knowing that the God, the creator of all the universe, the Lord of heaven and earth, has said that to me personally by his spirit. I mean, that would do me. Everything else will flow out of that. You are precious
in my sight and honored, and I love you. I mean, what more could anybody want than to have God say that to you, you know? You have been summoned by name. I have redeemed you. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. And you look at yourself and you think, how on earth can all that be true? And then he just reminds you, it's true because I'm God and you're not. So just remember, you're not God, I'm God. And what I says goes. And if you just live in the revelation of those truths, I guarantee one thing, you will rejoice always. Amen. And you will give thanks in all circumstances because this is the will of God for you. In Christ Jesus, where you live. And the secret is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now it's time to rejoice. So let's get to our feet, come into the middle, praise the Lord. Let me tell you, if you just live out this message, you will be in revival, you'll be in reformation, you'll be in restoration, you'll be in renewal. You'll be in heaven on earth. It doesn't matter what you call it, but you will be free. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, go solo for a minute. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.